All right, good morning and welcome back to our study. I'll stick that there. Let's open with a word of prayer. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Let's pray again. Our Father, we begin our time this morning by just quietening our hearts, directing our thoughts toward you, toward your word, toward learning and hearing from you this morning. Would you just ask God this morning to speak to you through his precious word? Just ask him, Lord, would you speak to my heart this morning? Would you say something that has my name on it this morning? And then I would just ask you to pray for me that I might be able to communicate God's word effectively. Our Lord, we thank you for the blessing of salvation. We thank you that you give us assurance. I pray this morning that you will in fact do that very thing in our hearts. Assure us that we are your daughters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning by directing you to the theme verse in 1 John. Melinda, I forgot to shut that door. Connie, you're doing it? Okay, thank you. The theme verse, look at it on your handout with me. We find in chapter 5, verse 13. And here John tells us why he wrote this book. Let's read it together. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now circle that word know. He wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. That's his whole purpose for writing this letter. Now, how can we know who a true Christian is? How can I know that I'm a true Christian? This brings up a critically important issue that's dealt with here in this book, and that's the subject of the assurance of your salvation. Now, I think if you were completely honest with me this morning, you would say, you know, sometimes I wonder, sometimes I ask that question. I mean, I have a little angst in my heart. Am I really born again? Am I really a daughter of the King? Have you ever had that? Especially if you're a newer Christian, that's something Satan will come and tell you, oh, you're not saved. He'll taunt you with that. Well, Teresa, is it really possible for me to know that I am saved, to have that assurance? And I'm telling you, we just read that verse. The scripture tells us we can know. We can know. And that's the subject of our lesson this morning. I love the hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And it is just a little taste of heaven just to know that you know that you know that, yes, I am truly born again. Now, this morning, we're going to take a test. And this test is going to reveal whether you're for real or if you're not for real. It's going to be our second test that John has given. Last week we took a test. The test was, are you one who confesses your sin? And so this week we come to test number two. Now I want to give you a little background. I'm going to get to 1 John, I promise. If you go back and study church history, which is a fascinating subject, early in the 1600s, during the time of the Reformation, one of the things that the Reformation dealt with when the gospel was actually recovered during the Reformation by the great reformers was this very issue. Can you know you were saved? Can you have assurance? And so the reformers came along and they recovered the truth of Scripture and they taught that truth to the church, that the believer can be and should be fully assured of his or her salvation. Now, what is exactly involved in knowing you're saved in this issue? Some people just really worry, can I know? It can cause anxiety in your life. And then there are others who think, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I went to church with Grandma way back when I was a little boy, little girl. I'm fine. When in fact, they aren't fine. They need to examine themselves to see if they're really saved. So, Teresa, what exactly is involved? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. The first thing I want us to put on our handout is this. First of all, assurance of salvation involves taking the promises of God concerning salvation, and then here's the word I want you to put in the blank. Mentally, first, you're going to take the promise of God. You're going to use your mind. So mentally and then acting is the next word upon them. You're going to consider them mentally, and that's going to cause you to act upon them. Now, this is where salvation begins. There's this mental aspect to having assurance. Now, think with me. How does it happen? Well, I hear the gospel. And as I'm hearing the gospel, that message awakens my dead heart to understand my sinful condition as I'm understanding the glorious truth of the gospel. And I'm recognizing the meaning of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That information, as I'm thinking about it in my mind, I'm led to repent of my sin. I'm led to reach out by faith, believe what I'm reading, embrace the Lord Jesus as my Savior and Lord. All of this is going on in my mind as I'm understanding the truth. I'm seeing myself as a sinner apart from God. I'm believing what the Bible says about who I am and my condition. I'm believing that, you know, in the state that I'm presently in, I'm not connected with God. I'm apart from Him. And I'm just going to believe that what the Bible's diagnosis about me is absolutely true. And when that happens in my mind, that leads me to take action. This conviction causes me to do something. And that is exactly what happens in Romans 10:17 on your handout. Look at it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word about Christ. And so that's what's happening. I'm getting faith. Faith is just believing. I'm believing what God's word says, and so I want to respond to what that truth says. It captures my mind. It captures my emotion. It's leading me to take action. You know what I do? I humble myself before God. I'm believing the gospel. And I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and that if I will embrace Him by faith, I will be saved. Now, how do I know that when I receive Christ, and we do that by prayer, we just cry, we call upon God. There aren't any certain words, it's just like, yes, Lord, I want this. How do I know that when I do that, that it was real? Well, let's write this down. My hope that my salvation is valid is all based on the promises of the Word of God. That's where I get my assurance. For example, there's so many promises, but let's just look at one on your handout out of John. John 1:12. There John says, now, but as many as received Him, speaking of Jesus, to them who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Now, there's just one of many promises. I look at the Bible. I believe the Bible. I say, I believe the Bible is true. It's God's Word. I just take it at face value. So I embrace Jesus because, and this is on your handout, the Bible says he is my only hope. So put that in there. That comes from Acts 4:12. I repented because the Bible says in order to be saved, I must repent. And that's found there in Acts 3:19. I acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. That means he's doing the salvation work and he's also my new boss. He's my Lord. I'm his servant. He's my master. And I find that in Romans 10:9-10. So the assurance that I'm saved then is first of all based upon what the Bible says. And I have this cognitive assurance. It's an assurance in my mind because I've come to know that the Bible is true. The Bible is trustworthy. But the truth is we don't always have full assurance. There are two other things that are going to join in with that, that are going to deepen our assurance. Let's go to the second one. But that's where it begins. That's where it begins. Number two, I sense that the Spirit of God is moving, working, and unfolding in my life. Now, I like this one. This is going to further give me assurance that I'm God's daughter. I look at my life, and I look to see if I am being led in my life by the Spirit of God. Let's go to Romans 8. This is the Holy Spirit chapter. And verse 14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, so that's the question. Look at yourself. Am I being led by the Spirit of God? Do I see him moving in my life? Is he directing my paths? And this is just so cool. Things occur in my life all the time, and I just say, that was just God. He's moving in my life. Things happen. I just say, praise God, that was God. I say all the time, that was just a little love note from God. It lets me know I'm his. Opportunities to serve just open up for you. And then your spiritual giftings become clear. And guess what? God blesses the things that you're doing. It's nothing but the Spirit of God moving in your life. It gives you assurance that you're for real. Because he's there. And you recognize it. He puts people in my path who I need. They speak just the right word to me. It's amazing. They don't even know they're doing it. And then he puts me in other people's path, and I get to speak to the word that they need. It's all of him. It's so much fun. He opens your eyes to see wonderful things out of the Bible. You couldn't see those things if it weren't for the Spirit of God giving you spiritual insight in God's word. You start to be transformed. You're thinking differently. You recognize it. This is the work of God in your life, ladies. Let it give you assurance that you are for real. You sense his presence. Go to verse 15 there in Romans 8. Here he says, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the Spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba just means daddy in the Greek. It's a very intimate name for a daddy, a father. Yes, he's our father, but oh, you're his daughter. He's your daddy. It's an intimacy that the Spirit shows you that you have with God. He teaches me to have confidence, to look up to God without fear, to be able just to rush into his presence with my every problem, my every issue, my every struggle. He teaches me how to pray. It's so wonderful. And then let's add verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to tell you that you are his daughter. I've counseled with women before, and they say, I'm just struggling with this. I'm just not sure I want to be saved. How can I know? And I'll take them to this verse, and I'll say, it's the Spirit's job to bear witness in your heart that you truly are born again. Now, I want you, when you get home, get alone with Him and sit there and say to Him, Holy Spirit, am I for real? And you know what? Listen. And either He'll say, yes, you are, or no, you're not. But either way, give Him time to speak into your life, because that is His job, to give you the confidence that you are for real. That's one of His ministries. And let me add one other thing He does. It's not here in Romans 8, but this is something that will let you know you're for real. The Bible tells us that in Corinthians, that you are not your own. You know this verse? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you are to glorify God in your body. Now, if you're born again, you're not your own anymore. You say, He's the master. And so He is the one calling the shots in your life. And you know what? If you get out of line in your life, guess what He'll do? He'll blow the whistle on you. Has the Holy Spirit ever blown the whistle on you? Yeah, you know, you're just about to say something, and something inside you says, Nope, that's not for you to say. You're just about to go do something you know you shouldn't do. And something inside says, Not you. The whistle gets blown, just like in a basketball game. That is proof. It lets you know He's there. You're His. And He will show you. So, what have we seen so far? How can I know I'm saved? I consider the promises of God concerning salvation mentally, and I've acted on them. I've sensed that the Spirit of God is moving and working and unfolding in my life. But there's a third element of assurance, and that brings us to our lesson this morning. You knew we were going to get to 1 John, right? Let's look at 1 John together. And today's lesson, we're going to take verses 3 through 6. Let's read them first of all. John says this, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Now, here we come to the third truth of how you can be assured of your salvation. And I kind of put it on your handout in the form of two questions that I want you to ask yourself this morning. The first one is this, do I walk the way Jesus walked? Do I walk the way Jesus walked? And the second way to say it would be this, am I obedient? Okay, so write that down. This is something that you can see in my life when you look at me. You can see how I walk, can't you? You can tell if you're walking along with me if I'm obedient to God, can't you? It's a visible thing. This is the thing that will give you full assurance. This is the test by which you can know that you are, in fact, a believer. Now go back to verse 3 because that states the test. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. So yes, we have a measure of assurance if we believe and we confess and we're baptized and all of those things and we're embracing what Scripture says. And yes, we have a measure of assurance because we're sensing the Holy Spirit. But this knowledge is something that is experiential. Here's the test by which I can really come to terms. So let's write it this way on our handout. There can be no assurance of salvation unless it is backed up by a changed life. Now, a lot of times can a Christian get in sin? Can they? Absolutely. And a lot of times, if you're just struggling, I think the first thing you need to say is, wait a minute, let me look at my life. Am I off track here? Let's write it another way. It's like saying this, and this is going to use theological words. There is no justification always leads to sanctification, which is the process of you being made holy. You can't have salvation apart from a changed life. They go together. Now go back to that verse and circle the word know in verse 3. You're going to see it's used two times. By this we know that we have come to know. He uses that word two times. This is about you knowing that you're saved. Tell me, John. Tell me. I want to know. How can I know? Well, there it is. Underline it. If we keep his commandments. And I'm going to say this morning, genuine salvation shows up in how you live your life. You will have a holy life. You will live lives that are consistent with the new covenant. Now, what is the new covenant? Well, let me show it to you. You see, in the Old Testament, they had the old covenant. Then Jesus came, brought the new covenant, which is a better covenant. Come on Sunday, Thursday mornings, you'll learn about that. But look at it, because Jeremiah prophesied the new covenant, and this is kind of a nutshell what it is. Look at it in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Now, this is the Lord speaking. And he says, behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. How do you know you're a new covenant woman? It isn't because you signed a card. It isn't because you prayed a prayer. It isn't because you were baptized and joined a church. It isn't because you help others and you're a good deed doer. Those are all good things. It's not going to be because you did anything outwardly. You can tell because a new covenant person has God's word written where? Heart. Write that on your handout. It's not because, okay, I'm going to join that club and I'm going to sign up and where are my rules? Okay, I'm going to keep those rules. Let me work on them. And somebody on the outside is putting pressure on me. No. Nobody's putting pressure on me. It's an inside thing. I have the Spirit of God. He's inside. He's the one. It's an internal pressure. You see, whatever your heart is, that is what controls your life. So let's write it this way. To know God then means to be compelled from the inside to obey the Word of God. Because that's where God has written it in. So Teresa, who is the real church? Well, they are going to be this collection of people who love the law of God from their heart, and they just cannot get enough of it. They can't get enough of it. I mean, the Word of God is not burdensome to them. They can't wait to get to Sunday school. They wouldn't miss unless they just had to go to the beach. And they come and they listen. And they're hanging on to every word of God's word. They love hearing it taught. They're hungry for it. They're anxious to learn the wonderful law of liberty. And then you know what? They like to sing about it. They have joy in their heart. They like to sing. They like to hear it preached. It's actually their delight. How can I know I'm saved, Teresa? I look at my life and I say, do I love and do I obey the love, the word of God? And by the way, I don't obey it perfectly. And yet it's the very thing that drives my life. You see, when Jesus is truly Lord and Savior, I gladly embrace His authority over me. His authority is something very precious to me. If He is truly love, there's this love of the truth in our hearts, and we long to see it lived out in our lives. Sisters, I am just telling you this morning about the real deal of salvation. Has it happened in your heart? Oh my goodness, it is so amazing. I'm not speaking about some kind of legalistic obedience where I have to do these things and it's my duty. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, this is an obedience that comes from a heart that is joyful and thankful for what God has done for her. It's not about me keeping the law perfectly, because you know what? I cannot do that. And God doesn't expect me to. But He is satisfied when He looks down and He sees a heart that is beating after Him. It's a heart of love that longs to obey Him, that longs to please Him. He's not wanting this legal obedience. No, no, no. He's looking at the heart attitude of obedience. And look at your own heart this morning. Does your heart yearn and long for holiness? We've got to go quickly. Go to verse 4 and 5. Let's apply the test. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a flat-out liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I'm just going to say to you, this is John talking. Boy, is he ever straightforward. He says, you know what? If you have a claim that you're a Christian and you live a disobedient life, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I know about Jesus, I prayed a prayer, I joined a church, I did this, I did that. But the proof of the pudding is in your life. Then look at verse 5, but whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in Him. You see, whoever has that loving, heartfelt obedience that's guarding the Word of God and seeking to obey the Word of God, it's in him that the love of God has truly come and salvation has happened. He's the real thing. And I want you to notice with me that true love for God manifests itself not in some kind of sentimentality, not some kind of a decision or even a mystical experience. It manifests itself in obedience. Obedience, obedience. It's a love that obeys. And then he closes the verse by saying, by this we know we are in him. Look at verse 6. The one who says he abides in him, the one who says he is saved, in other words, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Could it get any clearer? He's saying you need to walk like Jesus walked. I put on Oasis Facebook page, if you're in that group, this new song that's out by Phil Wickham called The Jesus Way. Go and listen to that song. It has blessed my heart so much. Because you see, genuine salvation expresses itself in Christlikeness. Now, again, I'm never going to be perfect. That's not my goal. But my heart is to be more and more, grow more like Jesus. And remember we said last week that word walk means my daily habit of life. Sometimes I get off course. But you know what? That's not my habit. My habit is the straight way. My habit is the narrow way. So if you say you abide in Him, if you say you know Him, if you say you're in the fellowship, all of those phrases are just ways of saying, I'm a Christian. If it's true, then my habit of life will be keeping His commandments. My habit of life will be, I will walk in the same way Jesus walked. That's why I love that song, The Jesus Way. I'm like, oh, that's perfect for my Sunday school lesson. If we had time, I'd play it. It's a gracious obedience from the heart with a passion and a love for the truth and a love for the Lord of the truth. Three things involved. Mentally, I heard the gospel, I acted on it. Then after that, the Holy Spirit moved in, I started sensing Him moving in my life. I could recognize Him moving. It's kind of it's hard to put your finger on that, but you'll recognize it. But the most wonderful way to know you're saved is to look at your life. That's where the proof is. Now we're going to break into our small groups, and I put at the bottom of your handout the questions I want you to answer, because next week we're going to come back to this chapter. I'm moving a little slow, but I wanted to get this lesson. I wanted to spend good time on it. So let's talk about the things that we've seen in this lesson. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the discussion around the table, for our lesson, for your word this morning. Now, Father, there are going to be people who come in our lives, and we're going to have discussions about how can I really know I'm saved. I pray that you'll put this lesson in our hearts, and we'll be able to help others come to an assurance that they are saved. Thank you for this day. This is the day you have given us. We are praising you. I pray that you will speak powerfully through Brother Greg. And we pray now, Father, that you'll bring us back next week, and we'll continue enjoying the feast of your word together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, see you next week.